I'd get any tattoo. I have sick dick on my wrist, but and I have like sperm on my leg, dude. Pause. I put it there. Well,
I'm Allison Hagendorf. America, this is the Next. Hello, Times Square. To X Games Aspen, I'm Allison Hagendorf.
I'm the live announcer of the VMAs.
Welcome to Rock This with Allison Hagendorf.
Y'all, this is Allison Hagendorf.
Allison Hagendorf.
My girl, Allison Hagendorf.
I am first and foremost a music fan.
You may very well be the most important person in rock and roll.
You're on the Allison Hagendorf show. We're going to go dive deep.
You're the connective tissue.
You have a musician's heart.
And she rocks.
My name is Allison Hagendorf. You're on the Mike Shinoda show.
You get nervous? Sometimes you're a nervous Nelly.
Yeah, I think
excellent.
You're very good at this, Allison.
Thank you.
Yo, baby.
I want to put him on my album cover. You're like, I'm on the way.
The template for how you go to a rock show.
Damiano David, it might be the first time you hear my name.
Well, Allison, one really funny thing that I wanted to mention.
We don't do this. Yeah. Only with you.
You're first sharing that with me.
I know, I played you some of the songs.
Together in 1983 as a band.
She's fit, like she's a badass all around.
You did for my whole life career.
You made me feel so seen.
I'm being like really vulnerable right now.
This feels like a therapy session. This has gotten very self-revelatory.
Hello, my fellow music lovers, and welcome to the Allison Hagendorf Show. Hello, my fellow music lovers, and welcome to the Allison Hagendorf Show. This is where we celebrate the universal love of music and the rock and roll spirit that lives in each of us. I'm so glad you're here. We are coming to you from DWP Studios, and I want to give a shout out to our presenting sponsor, Cloudwater, our partners at Sweetgrass Vodka, and our friends at Karma Sauce. These are three quality products I love. They're all part of my life and help make this show possible along with you. Your support means the world to me. Thank you. Breakout alternative star Jaden is my guest today. Jaden got his start on TikTok, which was an amazing platform for him to help create the diehard fan base that would later support his music and propel his journey. Jaden is a prime example of a TikTok success story, but of course we all know the potential for the extremely dark side of social media, and Jaden in particular has been very vocal about the need to take social media breaks in order to preserve mental health. And honestly, we all need to take breaks from the digital world so we can reset, reestablish perspective, and surround ourselves with those special individuals in our lives who ground us. I truly feel for Gen Z and my sons growing up in Gen Alpha, as well as future generations who won't have the opportunity to grow up and develop in a more analog, tangible world, and to just be, to know the beauty of just being a kid and not a brand or a content creator or the pressure to provide a filtered version of themselves. Our value should not be in the form of likes and views, but be reflected by who we are in real life, the choices we make, and how we make others feel. Of course, there are so many advantages and opportunities and access that we all have now that simply were not possible before. Quick shout out to payphones and playing outside until it got dark because we had no other option. I love connecting. It is my main mission in life. So I personally feel that it is important now, more than ever, for all of us to recognize that although social media can be a great way to connect superficially, nothing will ever replace real life human connection, eye contact, a hug, an uninterrupted conversation, and my personal favorite, seeing live music. It is a primal necessity as a society, as a community, as human beings. And I am all about prioritizing being more human together. Okay, coming up after this short break, we have Jaden right here in the studio. Stay tuned. My guest today rose to prominence on TikTok, transcending into music as a proper breakout star who has reached gold status and tallied over a billion streams. He has earned coveted slots on Variety's Power of Young Hollywood Music Impact list, as well as Billboard's 21 Under 21 list. He just announced his upcoming sophomore album, When the Music Stops, and his US-UK tour. Jaden, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a while, we were just saying.
It has been a while. I was thinking about, we haven't seen each other since Travis Barker's Halloween party, which was
an amazing bash.
That was really fun. He didn't do it last year, did he?
No.
I was really sad about that. But yeah, that was a really fun
time. That was so fun. And to think about how much has happened since then, but I want to start by congratulating you, and I'm actually going to give you a round of applause.
Thank you so much. This album,
you know how I get. Mm-hmm. I listened to it. I know it inside and out. I literally know this entire album. 17 songs, co-produced Travis Barker and Andrew Goldstein. It is awesome.
Thank you so much.
Like, how are you feeling in this moment with this completed body of work, knowing that the world is going to hear it soon?
It's a really crazy position for me to be in. It's nice to hear you say that, because not a lot of people have heard the full album. It's been so long. It's been so long since I put out my first album. And I don't think I really understood the weight of, like, a sophomore album.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know, when I made my first few songs and then leading up to the whole project, like, I didn't know anything. And so it was just easy. Like, I had Travis and Andrew, and we just, like, made music, you know?
Yeah.
And then I went on tour, and I learned a lot, you know, quote, unquote. So I think that actually, like, makes you, like, forget, like, why you're doing what you're doing, especially when you have such a long period in between music. So when I started making the sophomore album, I was so, like, confused and, like, oh, crap, what the fuck? Like, what am I doing, you know? So it was a long journey to get here, for sure, without a doubt. But I'm very happy with the album. I could not be more happy.
You said that, you know, you've been to hell and back since your last album. Why was making this album so essential for you?
I think I had a lot of personal stuff that affected the music, which I had never really experienced, you know? Music for me was just like a benefit to life. And then a lot of hard, really sad things happened to me. So I think that it just changed my perspective of why I made music, you know? And I was trying to fill voids with, like, the success of my career and stuff. And it's a really weird place to be in, and it's a very vulnerable place, because, like, I love music more than anything in my life. It changed my life. It saved my life. I know so many people that it saves their lives. So when it started to feel different, it was really uncomfortable for me. And so it was really hard for me to create music that was real, which ultimately led to me not just putting anything out, because it's really hard for me to, like, fake it. You know what I mean?
Well, you can feel the authenticity in this. And I really want to do a deep dive of the music.
Please, yeah.
But before we get there, I do want to talk a little bit about, just for perspective, to know where your journey has brought you to this moment. Wait, first tell me about the symbolism of your name, you know?
JXDN.
Right, for JXDN. but then deciding to use, you want to use your name. So where are we now with that, with JXDN versus Jaden Hostler? And
yeah, so I really think I'm just manic, you know what I mean? I'm just a manic person. I think a lot of people who are creative, or just more people nowadays, because we live in the age of social media,
yes,
you know, it's really hard to regulate your emotions. And so I went through a lot of stuff, losing my best friend, and then about a year later I felt like it all caught up to me. When I first decided to go by JXDN, I didn't really have, like, a reason. I actually wanted to be named Jax, J-A-X, but there's already an artist named Jax.
And yes, so she's been on the show.
When I found that out, and she's been in it for a long time, too,
awesome.
So she's a really sweet girl.
Yeah.
But I was like, damn, like, I just got to do something. So I was 18, and I was just like, I don't know, put an X in my name and take out the vowels. So, and it worked out. Like,
right.
I always say this, when you make a name, it never sounds like it's going to be good, but then it lives a little bit, and you look back, you're like, oh, this name's awesome. So,
of course. I mean, think about the Beatles. Like,
yeah,
what
exactly.
Is that, right?
It's like, yeah. I think about it all the time, like Apple. Like, you know, no one thought that was a cool name. So I had JXDN. It's just Jaden, or whatever people want to say. But then I went to, like I said, my friend passed away. I went to rehab. I got sober for like 9 months, and I don't know. I had a really big identity crisis. And when you go to rehab was great for the sense of, like, sobriety. But it made me, like, doubt myself a lot more than, and I've never doubted myself. That's just something I've not struggled with. You know, I've always had, like, a instinctual confidence.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important for anything that you want to do. You have to love what you do more than anybody else. You know, it doesn't matter. And so when I started to doubt myself, I was like, oh, I need to change my name, and I need to change the sound of my music, and I need to change, like, my clothes. Like, I felt like I needed to change as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, and it was a whole big process. I dropped one single underneath Jaden Hostler, and then I went to South America, and I have a really big fan base in Brazil specifically. And so I went to Brazil, and I saw all my fans, and I was just like, oh no, like, I totally just messed up. You know, I was like, I totally fucked up. So I called my label, and I told my team, I was like, yo, I'm gonna change my name back. And they were like, no, you're not. And I was like, oh yeah, I totally am. And so I did, and luckily, they they stuck with me through that. Because it is a big process with like DSPs and stuff, and it changes numbers too. Like,
yeah, I know.
It lowers your monthly listeners. It just does a lot. So, but I was at a point where I would rather tell everyone I was wrong and go back to being the person that I started this entire journey with than try to be someone that I'm not, you know? And so it was just a human moment. And I'm actually really grateful for it. I know that when I get to a certain point in my career in the future, I'm going to be able to look back and actually use it as an example for other artists to be like, don't be scared just to try something new. You know, don't be scared to, if you feel something in your gut, trust it. And also trust yourself to be wrong. And that was just my whole experience, my whole lesson. But it's JXDN again.
Okay, it's JXDN again.
And
just want to clear the air.
That's what it is. That's what this album is under, is JXDN. So okay. And we're back and we're going to stay there.
All right, good. I just wanted to make sure because I was like, wait, you mentioned South America and Brazil. Now, was that the trip where you ran into this person?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Wait, please tell me
I've been waiting to talk about this story.
Yeah, please tell me this story. I love how Dave's part, you know, it's part of our show.
Yeah, he's got to be.
Yeah.
The most rock and roll person. Like, he is rock and roll. Dave Grohl is rock and roll. You know, I think there's a lot of people that have contributed to the entire scene, but when you're around him, you just understand, you know, him not only just being a part of Nirvana, but being a part of the Foo Fighters and, like, both eras and just such a dynamic to it. It's really bizarre. So we were in Paraguay. This wasn't the same trip, but this was, like, a year before. We went to South America. We did Lollapalooza.
Yes.
And so Kells was also doing... MGK was also doing Lollapalooza, so we were like, let's just fly together. I was just on his plane. Like, we weren't sharing a plane. He's so funny. One time he was like, yeah, let's just share a plane, bro, to this place. And I was like, yeah, I'm not paying for that. I can't do that. Anyway, so I'm with him, and, you know, we're just family vibes. And the Foo Fighters really wanted to see MGK and his crew and vice versa. And we were in Paraguay, and the show had just gotten canceled because there was, like, a big storm that hit.
Yeah.
And so we ended up going to their hotel, and they had, like, the whole top floor, like, closed off, obviously. And it was just Dave and Taylor Hawkins and the entire crew. And it was the most bizarre thing. It was just me, my manager, and
And Kells was there, too?
Yeah, Kells and the entire MGK crew, and then...
Everyone was there. This was like the most rock and roll moment, like cross generation. I love it.
It really felt like in the moment too, because we were at the peak of kind of like my career and Kells' career with tickets and stuff. It felt like generational, you know? And it was really, you just felt the energy there. And so we're sitting there, and Dave's sitting there trying to roll this like joint for like 30 minutes, right? And he's just like, I'm not joking.
He was really taking care.
No, I'm not joking. Really, it took him 30 minutes, precision. And he just, like, couldn't do it, right?
Okay.
And finally, he, like, finishes, and it's not done.
Not good.
But no one's saying anything because it's Dave Grohl.
And he'd really poured his heart into rolling this.
Silence, bro. I'm not joking. Silence for 25 minutes. And we're all just watching him roll this. And he finishes, and it's not good. And so he just crumples it in his hand and throws it down. And then he looks at Rook, MGK's drummer. Yeah. And he's like, yo, drummer, can I ask you something? And Rook's like, yeah. And he's like, if I jump in this pool, are you going to jump in this pool with me? And Rook's like, yeah. So Dave just gets up, takes off his clothes, and just jumps in the pool.
He was naked?
He was in his underwear, I think.
Okay.
But, like, it was just so, he didn't even think about it. He just got up, took off his clothes, and so then Rook got up and just jumped in the pool.
It's like a drummer's alliance.
And I saw them, and I was like, oh, I'm not missing this. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to miss out on this moment. So I got up, and I jumped in the pool, and Kells jumped in the pool, and it was just like, we were all sitting there taking shots of, like, Tennessee whiskey, like honey, you know, Tennessee honey. And it was just such a surreal moment. And then I got out because I don't like cold, and it was really cold. And I put on, like, my clothes and stuff. And then they ended up, I was walking by the pool, and they grabbed me and, like, pulled me back into the pool. And Dave was, like, pulling me by my legs. And, like, I don't know. I think back, and I'm just like,
he was, like, initiating you.
Like, no one's going to believe me. You know what I mean? Like, but luckily we got a video of, like, him trying to pull me in the pool, and I don't know. It was just such
a great
night.
What a surreal moment.
Like,
were you and Kells even to each other being like, this is crazy?
Oh, for sure. I think Kells was definitely on cloud nine, you know, because he's just been involved with the scene for so long.
Yeah.
I came into this very new. Like, I didn't have any idea about really anyone when I signed to Travis. And so there was a fresh of, like, oh, my gosh, that's Dave Grohl. But for him, I'm sure that he was just, like, that was his whole life, you know?
Wow.
But
that's unbelievable.
It's, like, the most rock and roll story I have.
That wins,
yeah,
I will say.
I don't even know if Dave would remember being around me that entire night, but, like, if I ever see him again, I'm going to be like, dude, you pulled me in a pool one time, you know?
That I wonder if he'll remember how inadequate he was in rolling that joint, yeah, more importantly. Hope he's gotten better since then.
Yeah, he'll probably be like, that boy's fucking lying. I don't know what he's saying.
It's okay. He's very, very talented, just not in rolling joints, so yeah, that we know.
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call, you talk to one of them, they stay anonymous, I can't hang up, that's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today, Beautiful Anonymous.
You said that, you know, you've been in a unique situation because you've experienced the highest highs and unfortunately excruciating lows, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when people have seek help, or, you know, there's like a breaking point, you know, mm-hmm. there's like a rock bottom, but the silver lining of that is then that's when you get help. Was there that moment for you, like a breaking point that you needed to make a change?
Yeah, I think I've had a few breaking points. I mean, it just depends on what they are, you know. Obviously, when my best friend passed away, that mm-hmm. was really tough. But I don't think I hit my breaking point at that moment. It took a while for it to catch up to me. I'm just an empath. And so yeah. This music scene, the industry, is definitely something that I'm not used to still. It's been 4 years. And I think that even how it's grown over the 4 years, like, I don't know how comfortable I am in it. But that's kind of what separates the people who get to live their dreams and the people who don't, you know. Mm-hmm. I was faced with a really hard situation just personally, mentally, you know, physically, where I was at in my life. And while I was having all these opportunities to do stuff, and I just said no so diligently, you know, for like a year and a half, I really separated myself from everyone, which I think was needed for my own personal psyche. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, it does take hard work to be in this industry and to do what you want to do. So I've really had to learn some lessons and grow and kind of put on some like body armor of like, you know, I am definitely feeling this and it's changed me as a person, but I'm not going to let it change like my soul and my destiny and my purpose, you know?
Yes.
So that's been an interesting battle. And while I can't point to a specific moment where I think I hit rock bottom, obviously when I went to rehab, that was really tough. But, you know, it's just been a constant, constant like learning a lesson and then moving on from it and learning another lesson and moving on from it.
And that never changes.
that's what I hear. So I'm like, that's fun. But yeah, I got to this point and I was faced with the reality of like, I can either give up and try to make myself feel more comfortable, or I don't give up and I just keep pushing because this is what I was born to do. So I decided to not give up and I feel great about it.
That's,
you know,
wonderful.
I think that is, and when I look back in the future, I know it's going to be a big moment for me of like, damn, this is when everything started to come to pass. I can already feel my life changing like in the moment just because I haven't let go of my dream yet, you know?
And I want to also applaud you because you did go to rehab. You took a break from social media and you shared that. And that's really brave. And it's very helpful for people because obviously, especially young people, I mean, social media can be so toxic and dark.
Yeah.
And now that you're kind of coming back to it, how are you approaching it any differently? Do you have any advice for people of how they can still do social media but in a more healthful way?
Yeah. I think that the biggest thing I think about these days is, you know, life isn't that big of a deal, which is so different than how I've thought about life before. You know, I've always seen things very seriously. You know, I'm a very logical person on top of being very emotional. So to me, everything feels like life or death, right? Like, if I make this decision, it's going to alter my life, you know? Recently, I've been trying to approach it from, you know, a lighthearted standpoint because we put so much pressure on ourselves. Being on social media puts so much weight and responsibility that doesn't really exist on, like, on us emotionally and mentally. And so just getting back to the moment where it's like, you know, if something happens that I don't want to happen, you know, and then move on. You know, that's really the only choice I have left because I don't think I have, like, the mental capacity or energy to try to deal with every little thing. And recently it's been great, and it's allowed me to enjoy the joys of life, you know, like making music, like, all day, you know, the past month. All I do now is just, like, spend time listening to music and being around people that I love. And I think that's helped my music career more than anything
else.
That's amazing. You know?
Yeah. How have you been coping, you know, with the loss of Cooper, your best friend? I know that you've been involved in Coop's advice, and that's been really, I'm sure, you know, meditative and medicinal mm-hmm. for you. Just tell me a little bit more about that and how you are right now as far as coping and...
Right now I'm at a good spot. I think it took a lot of like denial, you know, mm-hmm. and grief is a very interesting thing because it never stops.
Yeah.
It just kind of changes, as do you as a person. I'm very grateful for, like, we're working on a documentary. I'm executive producing a documentary for Coop's Advice and Cooper's Story. So that's really nice. It's like therapeutic, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Doing stuff with his foundation is great. And also just recently we've spent a lot more time within the group of people that kind of went through everything together, you know, when he passed the community. So that's been really nice. And also on top of that, having fun, I can feel my best friend being like, you know, I'm glad that you're having fun. Oh. You know what I mean? Like, that's such an important thing that I think people overlook. If you're not enjoying what you're doing, that is a real energy that you're missing out on.
Yeah.
And I think it makes the product or whatever you're trying to do so much better if you just actually enjoy it.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
You said this beautiful quote that I just wanted you shared. I questioned myself, I questioned my music, and I questioned life and its purpose. And through it all, I heard faint sounds ever so often that resembled a beautiful melody. They guided me through the silence back to the place I call home, the music. Mm. That's wonderful. And that's really brought you to this place and to this body of work.
Yeah, I remember writing that because, you know, you like dedicate the album.
Yeah.
My last album, I kind of like went through the works of people that I, you know, my family, my friends, my fans. But this album, I made for myself, you know, which is a very different way of going about music for me. I always thought that I made music for other people, mm-hmm. and I still do make music for other people. But the only way to truly make music for someone else is if you make it for yourself, you know, because we're so similar as human beings. I think that we are more similar than we think. And music is the same thing to every person. It expresses itself in different ways, but it's healing that person. You know, that's what it is. Music is genuinely healing. And so making this album, when I called Travis after I switched and then switched back, I was like...
with and without the X.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, Trav, I don't want to make any hits. You know, I just want to make a good album. And he was like, perfect. Because that's all I want to do, you know? And I think for me personally, I had to be honest and vulnerable that I only cared about making a hit for about like a year of my life because I was so lost and so insecure that I thought that having another moment would like fill that void that I was really just going through personally in my life. And obviously it didn't work because that just is not how music works. You can't like try to have a hit. But even more than that, it just taught me the lesson of like when I first started making music, it was so obvious that I made it for the specific reason of like I wanted to help people. You know, music helped me. It changed my life. That's what I wanted to do with my music. So with this album, I really think I did that more than ever. Even more than my first one, I think I was really vulnerable and intentional about what I was trying to do with my songs. And I think I did it, and I'm very, very happy about it.
You did it, and now I would like to gush.
Okay.
So your first album, I feel very grateful. I was part of that journey. I was the head of Rock at Spotify at the time, and you had so many songs to support, and you had such success.
Thank you.
Really catapulted success. I mean... so many songs, not just Angels and Demons, of course, but so many songs. Mm. But this album, this is the game-changing album. Wow. I feel like you probably think that first album was a game-changer, of course, because it put you into this new stratosphere. But as an artist, as a musician, this is the album.
Thank you so much.
So awesome. Again, 17 songs, I've listened to them all through. I think fans are going to be blown away.
Thank you.
This is so multifaceted, multidimensional, so many... I want to talk about influences on this.
Because
I personally hear... I hear The Strokes. Mm-hmm. I hear The Cure. I hear The Killers. I hear Deftones.
Oh, yeah.
I hear all Sunny Day Real Estate. Elder Emo are going to love this, me. There's so many emo moments. Scream.
Yeah.
Oh, screaming. Wait, let's talk about this scream. Mm-hmm. I mean, your voice.
Yeah.
You like your vocal prowess on this album really like I was like surprised by
it. I was pretty intentional about that. I think when I made my first album, you know, I had no idea what I was doing, and those songs were the first time I was in a studio, you know.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like I had this project I was working on and we finally got it to this point. Like we made the songs and then we put them on the project, you know. There was no in between. And so while it was really, really awesome to, you know, when you first hear yourself on a song, you're like, oh my gosh. But then a year later, you're like, wow, I sound different. And then 2 years later, you're like, wait. And then 3 years later, I'm like, oh, I'm just a different person.
Right.
So I really wanted to showcase how my voice has just grown Not even just as a singer, but as an artist, you know, my vernacular, I really tried to change that. But yeah, I have a few songs. I have like 4 to 6 from my, I had an original album right after Tell Me About Tomorrow that never came out. So I took like 4 or 5 songs from those because I wanted to, it to still have this like nostalgic feel, almost like ode to my first album. I have 2 songs on the record that are pretty like pure pop punk. And I wanted to like have that in there. I didn't want to completely abandon
it.
But after I had that, I wanted to venture into like every lane of rock that is possible because I think that that is actually the future. I think pop punk was the perfect niche to open up the gate for like live music again.
Yeah, you're right. And it was a revival and it felt good and it was fun.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, even with like when we were young and stuff. But I feel this wave of like hard rock and even like metal and and classic rock and like British rock. Like that is the new wave that's entering in. And I'm trying to usher it in myself as someone who I think is definitely like a voice for alternative music just in general. And I didn't want to put myself in a box again because I learned that lesson.
Yes.
So... yeah, 17 tracks, and I think there's probably like 9 different genres.
There are. I can vouch for this, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, so many things about this. You mentioned being a voice for alternative, and that really resonates with me, and I'm grateful for that because, you know, alternative and rock have become like the underdogs and such an underrepresented genre. And
which is bizarre.
Which
you know?
Is so wild, you know. What is it about it that speaks to you and that is like, why is it part of you and part of your mission?
I think it's a great question. Because when I met Travis, right, he was like, did you listen to punk music or rock music growing up? And I was like, no. And he was like, perfect. And I was like, why is that perfect? He was like, that's the most punk shit I've ever heard. You know, so I got accepted for not being a part of the scene my whole life really early on. And I always appreciated that. So when I approached the music, I saw it as kind of like this like holy grail of like untouched, you know, you haven't heard this because it's underground. Like so much of the punk and rock scene is bands that no one's ever heard of, you know?
Right.
But they have a place and they have their foot in the door in the mainstream like world that is rock music, you know, if that makes sense.
Yes.
You know? So people like Finch, right?
Yeah, I
when
love
I found Finch.
Finch.
Like Finch is a band that everyone knows, but at the same time, no one knows, you know? So stuff like that really interested me because I always just felt like an outcast. And I really think that that's kind of like the world of outcasts is rock music because people just don't care about the outside world. But I have a lot of love for like hip hop and pop. Like that's what I grew up on, right? So I always think it's funny because whenever you go to like a live show, right? There's a tangible difference from when you go to like an alternative live rock show than there is even at like a pop or rap show.
Yeah.
I went to Drake, great. He's great, you know, great show. But then you go and you see the Deftones, or even you go to a club show and you go see one of my friends like Beauty School Dropout. Like, it's just a very obvious difference to me, at least, you know.
What is the difference to you?
I don't think that you can go to a show like that and not be compelled by the music.
Yeah.
I can go to a show where they're just playing it on the speakers and tap out, you know. If I want to be in it, then I can be in it. And I think that there are, you know, if I went to like the Creator show, I think I would be up in arms, you know? But you know, I just think that there is something so compelling about people creating music live, you know, that is so different than anything else.
There's a level of emotion and passion and community that is very unique to those type of shows. And I always, because I love all music, but when you go to like a rock show, an alternative show, everyone is like facing forward, like ready to go.
Ready to go.
When you go to some other shows, people are taking selfies.
Yeah, it's
or,
all
like,
about
posing,
the environment.
Right?
Yeah, feel me?
But like at a rock show, everyone is so in the moment. It's the most primal, real life, beautiful experience.
The only other like shows I could say that probably have the same number are Taylor Swift and like Harry Styles.
Right. Because it's so hardcore.
My goal is like, I don't know, I have a really crazy situation because my fan base is very like, I don't know. I would say I have like a Taylor Swift fan base where they are just so diehard, like core like Jaden fans, right?
Yes.
Which I noticed really early on. And so that is why I was able to do 3 tours on 1 album because my fans were just there to support me. They weren't, but I was getting tired of music. I was like, oh my gosh, guys, you know, like I've toured this almost 170 times. Like I can't keep doing this album. So that's another reason why I'm really excited about this project, is because it's a whole new world for me and my fans. Like, yes, my fans deserve that. And speaking of live shows, like, that is just something I like to do. I like to merge. I do a lot of covers at my shows. I just think anyone that hasn't been to a live show of mine should definitely come see one, because it is just a night and day difference than anything you could expect from, like, seeing me on the phone, you know?
Right.
I'm just a live performer. That's what I do. I'd say that's my biggest talent.
Right.
I love making music in the studio, but just night and day difference. So I encourage everybody to come see it.
Absolutely. See a show. When I see live music, like specifically rock and alternative and other things too, I feel alive. Like, that's when I feel my most alive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Going back to the album, so I do have a personal favorite on the album.
Oh yeah, what is it?
Stray.
Oh, dude, you have...
Stray.
You have no idea. You have no idea, brother.
Stray is like, it's special.
That's the song.
It's special.
Okay, so that makes me feel fantastic. I love that.
Like, I would say to anyone, like, oh, Jaden has a new album. Like, is it pop?
Listen to Stray
first. I would say, just put Stray on.
Thank you so much. Okay, yeah. So, funny, I put out When the Music Stops, the single. That was the last song I made on the project. Mm-hmm. So, title track, I made the song, and I was like, this is the album name, okay? I came up with that concept, like, 2 years ago. 2 years ago, also had a song called What the Hell. So, I put out When the Music Stops. I just put out What the Hell.
Yes.
To be completely candid, I love the song so much, you know? But my best friend passed right as I was about to put it out, and so I didn't put it out. And I really didn't want to put it out for a long time. You know, so that was another lesson I had to learn of, like, trusting the people around me and trusting my label and management who cares about me, because they really love the song, you know? And I love the song. But I had just, like, gone through such kind of, like a trauma with it that I didn't have that connection anymore. So we just put that out. I'm very grateful for it.
Which is great.
Thank you.
And the response has been incredible.
Yeah, people really enjoy it. So that makes me feel good, you know, because I just was it's just hard, you know, like one of those personal life things. But Stray is coming on next, and we're actually doing a 2-pack. I'm not going to say what the other song is. It's Sad October.
I love Sad October. It's so,
so
good.
I think we're doing Stray and Sad October.
That's great.
As a 2-pack. And then I have another song coming out right after that, which is going to be Just Let Go.
Right, love
it. And then I have, I'm finishing, the album is dropping with the single Drugs.
Oh, Drugs.
As the focus track of the album. So okay. I'm really excited about that.
All right, I want to talk about all the songs you just mentioned. But you just said, okay, let's start with Stray, just because that song is so special. That one, that's like an elder emo banger. You know, that's like Deftones. I hear Sunny Day Real Estate. Yeah. Just so much emotion. The layers. Like, tell me more about
Stray. So that was the first song that I came back, right? Because I had made around like 40 like pop oriented songs, right? Like 40 like trap like pop songs during the summer. Really, really funny. Really funny time for me as a
Okay,
summer.
Right.
Yeah, and I was like speed dating. I was doing like a lot of different producers, a lot of writers and stuff. And I made like 40 songs. None of those songs will ever come out, you know, underneath like my name. But that was just a phase of my life, right? This was the first song I did when I called Andrew Goldstein and I was like, and I called Travis. And I was like, yo, I just need to get back to my roots, you know? Mm-hmm. So I went in with Andrew and actually one of the guys from 303.
Which one?
And, oh, dude, this is like.
I love those guys.
His blonde hair.
Sean.
Yeah. I think it was Sean. Okay. Thank you. Because he was the nicest guy in the world and I feel so
bad. Yeah, they're great guys.
If it's not you, Sean, sorry. but. We're in there, and I remember, like, it was just this funny moment because I hadn't used, like, live instruments, like, guitar or, like, live drums or anything in a song in, like, a minute. And so Andrew pulled out the guitar, and I was just like, oh, I felt like this release, and, like, I don't know, it just felt like, oh, I'm back, you know? And so we started writing, and I'm really obsessed with the Deftones. I just have been for the past, like, 2 years.
So good.
I call it, like, hippie metal. Everyone calls it what they want to call it, but it's just such a sexy, like,
it is.
It has a sexy vibe to it while still being incredibly heavy, you know? And so I went in and I was like, this is really like the emotion I'm trying to convey. And I had this idea of like being in a relationship with your job or your friends or a girl or a boy and you just feel like a stray dog, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're taking care of you, but you're just a stray, you know? And so I really put myself in that mindset. And when we made the song after I finished, I was like, oh, this is probably my favorite song I've ever made in my entire life. And to this day, it still is. The only one that rivals it kind of is Sad October, just because it's so, and we'll talk about it, but like so strokes. But Stray is, Yeah, if you're gonna listen to a song off the album, listen to Stray first.
Stray.
Every time.
Stray. I confirm this.
Like, that makes
me Stray
really
happy. Is the song. Like, so the way I listen to music is very intensely, but I listened to all 17 songs and I was like, oh, this is a great song. Oh shit, this is a great song. Like every song, like, there was no skips for me.
Thank you.
There was
so
no
much.
Skips for me. And for 17 songs, that's saying a lot.
Thank you. That does mean a lot.
Like really. And then actually the first song that stuck out to me was Wet Dream.
Thank God you said it, bro. You're right up my alley.
Allison. All right, so Wet Dream and Stray were actually the two that before I moved on, I had to listen to again.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I actually made those as like a, like I said, there's like 9 different genres. I wanted each song to have a sister song,
yeah.
If that makes sense. So I hate when I go to an album or I go somewhere on someone's page and I listen to a song and I'm like, damn, I love this vibe. I want to hear this again.
Yeah.
And then I can't find anything right. like it. So each song, I tried to make a song that just had a similar
like
emotion.
A compliment.
Yes, mm-hmm. A compliment song. So those two go together, like hand in hand. And they're both, you know, just very... So Wet Dream is inspired by the song Sex Tape by the Deftones. And
yes.
When I first heard that song,
so Deftones, I love
it was
it.
A crazy time for me. I was doing crazy things, but it definitely was a core memory for me. And I went that way. So I made Wet Dream with Travis and Andrew at Travis's studio. And when Travis just came in with the little drum fill, I was just like, oh, this is exactly what I want it to be. So I'm really grateful. I'm so glad you like those
yes.
two songs. That actually makes me so happy. You have no idea. My manager's back there like rolling her eyes because those are like my favorite.
And they're my favorite too.
They're
so
the
we
best.
Must be on, high five. We must be onto something. I'm just saying.
That's great.
Of the 17 songs, those were the two songs I went back immediately and listened to again. I actually took notes on some of the songs. But yeah, you know, just one more thing about Stray is that, you know, it's that fuzzy, you know, distortion mm-hmm. feedback, you know, mm-hmm. that passion.
Passion,
it's
that's
really
what it
passion.
Is. I wanted, like, to me, Stray is pathetic, you know, like, I wanted to approach emotions that I hadn't approached before, you know, and even my vernacular, like I was talking about before, you know, I'm still a novice to, I think, this life, but I've learned a lot over the 3 years of even just not doing anything, like... Mm-hmm. I think I gained a lot of wisdom just being around people. But my first album, you know, it was like cool because it felt very, you know, niche and like punk of being like, oh, I'm in a nightmare, you know, oh, I just did drugs, like I'm sad and like, oh, you know, those type, like sick, like
yeah.
talking about like that stuff, right? But then taking it a step further and being like, I'm your dog, but I'm just a stray, you
yeah.
know? I really wanted to dive in and into what I was saying and why I was saying it. Not having to explain so much. Not having
right.
to make things so... Like, keeping it simple, but also not keeping it boring or bland, mm-hmm. you know? So everything I wrote, I really tried to come from a poetic
yes.
sense. There's this song called What Can I Say?
Yeah.
And that song is really inspired by this artist named Ecstasy. He's
mm-hmm.
amazing. And... I have it tattooed right here. I don't have words to say, but like that was the whole premise of the song is like, I don't have anything to say. Like, what can I say? And so in my head, I'm like, I'm just going to repeat that. You know, I'm just going to keep saying that over and over again. What can I say? And it really made the whole song. And the song doesn't have a lot of structure, you know? And so, but when we made it, we were like, wow, this is amazing. And so that was really the idea I went about. Every time I created a song, I wasn't worried about how it looked or the way it was shaped or what it was. I cared about how it made me feel.
Yeah.
And that was I always felt my music, but this whole project was much more intentional about that, much more aware of like what feeling was being presented. And that's why I think it's such a success, honestly. And honestly,
yeah.
I got so lucky because like sophomore albums are so hard. And I went
through the hardest sophomore slump. It's literally
yes,
the hardest album.
And I didn't think it was a real thing, you know, when I was
oh,
first, I was
thing,
like,
yeah.
That won't be me. And then 3 years later, I'm like, oh, well that took 3 years. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful for it because if I didn't go through this process of making this album, I promise you I would not be able to make my third album, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm very excited about the music following this album because it's such a setup, you
yes.
know? It really is such a...
it's an evolution.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of you as an artist, as a person,
mm-hmm.
you know? I started this album with like a clean slate. I was
yeah.
not expecting anything.
Amazing.
I just was like, oh, okay. I also know Jaden's been through a lot. Like, I'm just interested to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And Travis was like, it's really good, you know?
Oh,
and I was
you.
Like, okay, cool. And I was like, pretty blown away.
Damn,
I was
thank
like,
you
okay,
so much.
The evolution as a human being is so apparent
thank
on
you.
This album.
Yeah.
The maturity,
mm-hmm.
the sophistication, the multifaceted dimension of it.
I really wanted to, so when we made the track list, this is also the most involved I think I've been in the entire process because I've just grown. I'm 23 now, you know. When you start, everyone tells you, right, when I was 18 and just turning 19, everyone was like, you know, you're the CEO of your business. And I was like, yeah, you know, but you're 19, you know, you're not really the CEO of anything. But now at 23, you know, I'm really starting to step into that role and be that person. And I have less stress about what is important and what isn't, you know, like what I'm wearing today. Like I wear what I want to wear. That's such a big thing for me. That makes me feel like who I am. I don't feel pressured to wear anything else, you know, especially in the rock community, you know, there's kind of like this expectation. And while it was fun to like wander around and see what I fit in, you know, now I don't worry about that because I'm so focused on like my music, and stuff, you know, but that type of stuff I hadn't learned before, you know, it's just the little things that make me so much more invested in what I'm doing right now. So
you're comfortable in your own skin in a new way.
Even in creating the album, when I was looking at like the track list, I needed that song. So Lost Angel, I actually made it a day before my best friend passed away. And I didn't even know that until I went back and looked at the notes. And so the story wasn't that the song wasn't even about him, but it just was crazy how it connected. And so I wanted to put that first. And it's just this like raw, almost voice memoed acoustic song right into like Candles, which is one of my favorite songs on the album.
Because
I've had it for a long time. And that was when I was really in my Kenny Hoopla era. And it was just this like feel good. I wanted you to be able to feel like you could ride your bike outside and like listen to the song. So to go from that to from this soft, like really broken sound to this uplifting, like almost empowering sound. Yep. Right off the rip of the album, I think sets a great tone for everything
else. It absolutely does.
I wouldn't have done that before. You know, I always needed to wow people before, and I don't need to wow people anymore. That's not my MO. That's not my goal. My goal is to captivate someone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to blow someone's mind. I want someone to feel like my mind and their mind is connected. You know? Like, I am who they are, and they are who I am.
It's beautiful.
But that takes a certain level of vulnerability, and that's why I've said, if I didn't go through these 3 years, I don't think I could have made this project because it wouldn't be as authentic as it needed to be, you know?
Authentic. I think that's the recurring theme for this album. You know, music is medicine. Music is freedom. Music is connection. Mm-hmm. And you have really accomplished that,
Thank you so much on this body of work. Yeah.
Do you have a proudest moment on this album? Did you surprise yourself from any song or any moment or any part of the process?
Definitely. I think that Stray and Wet Dream are actually one of my proudest moments because also it was a connection between me and Travis too. You know, we hadn't seen each other in a while. And so when we got back in, it felt like we had a stronger relationship than we ever had before. And that was very important to me because Travis really took me in under his wing. Like, I wouldn't be here without Travis, you know, obviously Kells as well. Both of them kind of go hand in hand. But I owe him everything. And so for us to kind of come back and do this again and do it in a very similar way to the first album where it was just like, making music was so important to me. And he had such a genuine joy about the album that really encouraged me in my low times, you know, because it's hard being an artist. Like, it's hard just creating something, not really knowing, you know, the ins and outs. I don't know. It's just confusing. Being an artistic person is tough. And so he was very supportive throughout all of it. And when we made Wet Dream, I just walked in and I just couldn't stop playing Sex Tape. And I was like, I need to make a song that makes me feel this way. And he was like, okay, bet. And we made exactly that. And I was just so happy. I was like, that's such a great feeling to like walk in with an idea, create the idea, and we'll leave and be like, wow, this is exactly what I wanted. And so that was a really proud moment for me. Also, another proud moment was when I changed my name back. You know, I really felt good about that.
Very symbolic.
You know, because it was not supported. You know, I had made such a big deal about being Jaden Hostler that it was almost kind of like disrespectful to like change back so quickly. And so I'm very grateful for everyone and all the DSPs who are very understanding, you know. I just had to do it for myself. Mm-hmm. I was willing to lose everything just to get my name back than I would just being Jaden Hostler and try to make it the same, you know. Like, I was willing to lose everything just because it's important to figure out who you are. If I didn't go try to be Jaden Hostler, I would have never understood who JXDN really was, you know? And that's what me and Travis concluded on. And that was a great moment for me when I just like stood on business and I stood on my feet and I was like, no, like this is what I have to do no matter what happens.
I think the bottom line is you have to do what makes you feel good, mm-hmm. right? Because if you don't have that at the core, what do you have? Mm-hmm. Like making other people happy? Mm-hmm. You know, you really have to start with yourself.
I think like something I've noticed, as I say this quite often, is I think that people confuse happiness and joy, mm-hmm. right? Like happiness to me is temporary. You know, it comes and goes. Like when people say money can't buy you happiness, I think it's a lie. I think money can totally buy you happiness, like, you know, in the moment.
Yeah.
But joy lasts forever. And joy comes from things that you can't buy and you can't sell. And I think that people try to base a lot of their stuff is like, am I happy right now? And I was so unhappy throughout the entire process and a lot of making this album. But I had so much joy in the fact that I knew who I was, you know, and that was the difference where like I wasn't making my decisions based off of if that day I was having a good day. I was making the decision of based off of like, I know that being JXCN is what I was born to do and my yeah. purpose and my destiny. And so that kept me together. And I don't know, a lot of wisdom, a lot of lessons during these 3 years. It makes you very introspective, you know, after
right.
a while. But right now I'm trying to just like enjoy it because yeah. I feel like I've done a lot of the hard work.
You have done, and I feel like you're in such a great place. You know, you've worked towards it. You did. You have done the work. You've been doing the work. Who is your? Because what's important also is our support system. Mm-hmm. You know, it's having the in real life people.
Absolutely.
You know, that like have your back and make you feel safe and love you no matter what. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you have that?
Absolutely. I think that that's something I'm trying to lean into more. Is you know. It's so funny, especially with the day and age of social media. You know, everyone is convinced they know your life and
right.
know exactly what's going
right.
on. Which you have a great, they have a great idea because, you know, cameras are everywhere and everything like that. It's hard to fake some stuff, but you don't really have an idea of what someone's going through. And I went through a lot and I made the decision that I didn't want to like be around anybody. And that was such a poor decision, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to learn it for yourself. That's at least how I am. But having a circle around you, the people that care about you no matter what, is so important.
Yes,
you know?
It is.
And you, sometimes I know there's situations where you're like, oh, I don't want to put this on them, you know. But it's really a humility thing of knowing that you need to surround yourself with people that are going to tell you no when you need to hear no and yes when you need to hear yes. And also just love on you and don't tell you anything sometimes. So I really understand the value of that, and I've had that since being out here. Now it's like it's also on to you as a person and me as a person. To lean into that and
yes,
really like go to your friends and family and be like, I need you. And so I've been doing that recently and it's been wonderful. And they're all really excited about the album, which is really cool. That's what I'm trying to kind of get myself into, is get the fire burning a little bit because
yeah.
it's been so long, you know. So doing stuff like this is really, really cool for me.
Awesome.
It's really, really nice.
I think this is the beginning of a new era for Jaden.
Thank you so much.
I really do. I think that this album is really special. I'm so happy that you're in this wonderful place.
Thank
really,
you.
And you deserve it.
Thank you so much.
Let's do deep cuts really quick.
Let's do it.
Name a song, album, or artist that changed your life.
Ooh. Funny, I brought up, when I heard Letters to You by Finch earlier, that was like one of the first like scene songs that I had ever heard. Definitely changed my life. The Descendants definitely changed my life. I'm the One, I did a cover of it before. I think that's like the first actual pop punk song ever.
Yeah.
So that's really fun. But without a doubt, I mean, if I'm being honest, you know, it's kind of had a wave online, so it's annoying for everybody wants to jump on. But the Deftones, like,
yeah,
the Deftones changed my life forever. Just because I didn't know music could sound like that, you
right.
know? And I didn't even find them early. I started listening to them probably 2 years ago.
Oh, that's great.
And
it doesn't matter when you discover great music, just that you discover
exactly,
it.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
I remember the day I heard Be Quiet and Drive Far Away. Like, it was just mind-blowing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It felt like when I listened to Juice WRLD for the first
right.
time, and when I went to his concert, it gave me the same feeling of, like, opened my eyes about music. So,
wow.
Yeah, Deftones, and then obviously Juice WRLD. I've been listening to a lot of underground music recently, though. Like, music that has, like, 700 views on YouTube.
Great.
Like, me and my homie just go on YouTube and we listen through to all these unreleased kids because there's so many talented
that
people.
I do
world.
That.
Yeah,
that's
really?
My passion.
Really?
I love finding like undiscovered, just
oh,
raw
just,
talent. I love
it's the
that.
Best feeling in the
it
world.
It is the best feeling.
I've had so many people that we've found and it's been like, wow, you just watch them kind of rise to fame. It's
mm-hmm.
really, really awesome. I'm really happy about
anyone
that.
Anyone you're looking at right now that you think is.
There's this girl named Critter and she's like, if Little Skies was a girl in 2016, she just makes unreal music. She's really talented. There's this kid named Freak. He's like a new metal artist. He just dropped a project.
Awesome.
He's amazing. Like,
great.
He's amazing. Like, if you really want to like let some anger out, go listen to Freak. And he's the nicest kid. His name's Asher. I met him the other night. Cool. Really, really cool kid.
Oh, cool. I want to connect with him. That's great. What is a song you wish you wrote?
Whoa. Yeah, that's a really good question. Off rip, some of my best friends, Beauty School Dropout, they have this song called.
I love the song that you guys did together.
Freak, yeah,
Freak.
Great.
Freak Amazing. Is awesome.
I wish I made that song. No, they have this song called Starfucker.
Yes.
And that song is so amazing. They also have this song, what's it called? Scarlet Letter. That I think everyone should go listen to. It's an amazing song. Also, Them Still Again, they have this unreleased song that they showed me recently that they're going to put it out, and then you're going to see me put out something very similar because I can't help but make. Dude, they showed me this song, and I'm just like, you know, exactly that feeling. I get jealous, and I'm like, I want to make this.
Inspired by.
I get jealous. No, I'm like.
You're like, no, let's call it what it is.
No, I get jealous for sure. I'm like, dude, this is fucking crazy. Like, but that's what I always. That's why I like being real with the homies, because if your homie is making a song and you're jealous, that song is amazing.
Yeah,
you know, and
you're
I tell them every
right.
time, I'm like, I'm jealous. You should definitely put this out. Like, this is crazy. So, yeah, definitely that.
Right? Shout out Beauty School Dropout.
We love you.
What's your favorite movie?
Interstellar.
Oh.
Recently, I saw Society of the Snow though on Netflix, and it rivals Interstellar, which is crazy. Because
noted.
I love Christopher Nolan and I love his movies.
He's incredible.
But you should really watch Society of the Snow. It's bizarre. It's about this Argentinian, I think, rugby team that flew over the Andes and they crashed, and it's like this whole thing, and you just gotta watch it. It's just a great movie.
Okay. What is something your fans would be surprised to learn about you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'm as cool as people think that I am, for sure. You know, like, I think that I always have a good time, you know? But, like, I don't think that I'm as, like, mysterious as people think. Or, like, online, I think I perceive myself as, like, I don't know, I want to look good and stuff like that. But in person, I'm definitely just the most obnoxious kind of person you've ever met. You know, if I'm being honest, that's just
great
reality. I'm just, like, a weird person. And especially when I'm, like, doing well in my life, I really don't care what other people think. So I just kind of do what I feel like I want to do in the moment. Including, like, just making, you know, I have a lot of, like, tics, it feels like, and I have a lot of ADHD, so I just, like, do what I want when I want it in the moment. And I think a lot of people think I would, like, be in here, like, you know, just, like, chilling. But
right.
I don't do that. I'm very, like, anxious and just, like, move around a lot. I don't know. I'm a little weirdo.
No, you're human.
Yeah.
You're actually a human being.
Human.
Yeah.
And then you turn on the camera, and I'm just, like.
You're, like, yeah, Bruce Steele. Right. If you can meet any celebrity, dead or alive, who would it be?
Probably Jesus.
Wow.
Fire answer.
Wow. Yeah, answer. That is
no
a fire
one ever thinks
answer.
About it like that. But like before, you know, he died, before he was crucified, he was a celebrity. Infamous to some, more famous to others. I'd want to meet him.
Wow.
That's what I'd want to do.
I feel like that question should be retired because no one can really beat that answer.
That's the best answer.
That is a good answer. What's the greatest risk you've ever taken?
Believing in myself.
Oh.
You know?
That's beautiful.
Because there's a lot of things that came with that. Like, I could say moving to LA or whatever it is, but it takes a lot to believe in yourself. Because you're not promised that anyone else will, and you're also not promised that you'll believe in yourself forever. So,
That's sort of why you have to believe in
yourself. Yeah, exactly. You know, but it is, if you do it, I always say this, the people that don't live their dreams are the ones that let go of them. And I genuinely believe that. That's why this part of my life recently has been so important, because it was the moment where I should have let go of my dream, you know, the moment where I should have given up, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. And that energy carries so much weight, you know, throughout the rest of your life. So, if you don't have anything to believe in yourself, you know what I mean?
That is honestly the best advice.
That's
true. Beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you.
How would you define success?
Different than I would probably before, you know? I think if people's lives are getting better because of you, that's success, you know? I think that, I think progress is success too.
Yes.
You know, that's, because it changes. Success when I first started was, my song just went gold and my album got billions of streams. That's what it seems like, right? Or this many people come and saw me. But now, you know, it's like I got up today and I'm trying to make like a good life for myself. That feels like success, you know? Or like being nice to people, that's success.
Yes.
Progress is probably the best answer. Progress is definitely the best answer. Progress is success every time, for sure.
Look at this wisdom that's happening here, Jaden.
Yeah.
Honestly,
it's
a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
What do you hope to achieve next?
Mm.
Like when you say build a good life for myself, like what does that look like to you?
A few things. I want to, some goals to state out loud. I want to create a concept and direct a movie. I have a lot of great movie ideas.
That's awesome.
I want to create a clothing line that is representative of like me and my best friend who passed away and my other best friend roommate, Quentin. Like we had this group called 28. Like we were just obsessed with the idea of like the 27 Club,
right?
And how it's like, fuck 27. Like we're 28 Club,
yeah.
You know? I don't know. I want to do something with that just because it's really near and dear to my heart. And I want to make music that people get mad about at first and then everyone loves. You know what I mean? Because I think that that's usually how it goes. No one really accepts cool shit or historical shit at the first, you know? They always catch on to it later. So I want to make some stuff in the future, the next year or two, that everyone's like, no, don't do this. And then I do it and then everyone's like, this is the best thing I've ever heard, you know? I don't know. Also, yeah, just like I've said before, I'm really trying to enjoy day-to-day life,
yes.
Like mundane moments, you know, like driving in the car. I just want to feel alive. I want to feel present. And I think I've been doing that recently. You know, it's good. I just got a new house and stuff, and I have a roommate, so it's nice. Like, just got a tattoo last night. You know, just normal.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What
is
it? Can you share?
Yeah. This one's cool. This one's a Kevin Abstract quote. It says, colder than Texas blue.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know if you can see it. There we go.
It's fire. Here we go.
Yeah, it's a line from his song, Texas Blue.
Yeah.
And I'm from Texas, and I don't know. I'd get any tattoo. I have sick dick on my wrist, but... and I have, like, sperm on my leg, dude. Pause. I put it there. Well... I do. I don't know. I got a tattoo gun, you know, when I was young and hungry for tattoos, but... I don't know. I really enjoy simple things like that,
yeah.
You know? That's a big goal of mine right now just because I've been so caught up in my anxiety and paranoia for so long that I'm really just trying to live and not take things too seriously, you know?
Yeah.
Which
be
is
in
hard.
The moment.
It's
be
hard to
moment.
Do, though. You know, everyone makes, like, you always got to say the right thing, you know? You always got to do the right thing. Like, I don't know. Recently, it's been nice just to find things that I enjoy, you know? Like, things that, even if other people are like, what are you doing? You know, like,
yeah.
I love sitting outside and, like, feeling the wind. Like, little things
Same.
Like that. You know what I mean?
The sun on your skin.
I also love dancing. Like, I dance at my house alone all the time,
yeah.
Listening to music. Just stuff like that.
I do,
that
too.
You wouldn't think plays a role in your life,
it
but it really does,
it does,
you know? It changes a lot, so.
It does. It actually, it resets chemistry
mm-hmm.
within you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. I'm trying to reset my chemistry.
Yeah.
I'm trying to rewire my entire brain, so.
Well,
yeah.
I hope you're proud of yourself, honestly.
Thank you so much.
Just sitting here with you is really a gift, because to see the journey and to have known you, you know, from
yeah.
the beginning to now, I hope you're proud.
Thank you so much.
You really are.
Am.
You've really become this like beautiful young man and a very inspiring one.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me back after all these years.
It is my pleasure. Awesome. We'll be right back. I have to tell you that having the opportunity to sit down with artists who I've known from the beginning and to seeing their evolution really means so much to me. And I'm so happy for Jaden and this new album and this new chapter. You're going to love this album. Thank you so much for being part of the Allison Hagendorf Show presented by Cloudwater. I want to give a huge thank you to our other partners as well. Danny Wimmer Presents, Sweetgrass Vodka, and Karma Sauce. Thank you to our friends at Arctic Zone, and most importantly, thank you. I would love to hear from you, so please like, comment, rate, review, whatever you're feeling, and reach out to me on socials at Allie Hagendorf. I'd love to connect with you. Let me know who I should interview next and what made you smile today. Thanks again. I'll see you next time, and remember, you're a rock star.